A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. You know what? Carrie and I have had enough.
We've had enough with liars.
We've had enough of people, aka celebrities, lying about their bodies.
We were just talking about, I just, you know, disclosed that I have an addiction to candy that I developed when I got sober. And I started eating sour things. Mm-hmm. Well, I always ate Skittles and Sour Patch Kids, but my sponsor, when I got into a program of recovery, it was suggested that I just eat candy.
Yeah.
Just to take the edge off. Yeah.
Cause also you get like a sugar craving.
Yeah.
Like for me, if I stop, like if I'm not
there's so
drinking
much sugar
or
alcohol.
Like around nighttime, like 6 p.m., I'll get like a craving for a glass of wine. And really it's like, I want sugar.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I just, but, you know, it's been almost 3 years and I've just nonstop eating candy. So, you know, and I like to take care of my teeth and I've had cavities before, like in the last 2 years. And I'm just like, I don't want to disappoint my hot dentist. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like have tooth decay. And I, sorry, this is like real, but also like just for my body and my health, I don't want like all that. Yesterday was my day one of not eating processed sugar.
Wow. Gwyneth would be proud.
Gwyneth would be proud.
Let me just say first and foremost. Gwyneth would be so proud of you.
First and foremost,
I'd like to say thank you for not eating sugar.
Thank you.
Because you're fighting inflammation and Gwyneth would be proud.
I kind of felt Gwyneth yesterday when I went to Whole Foods and bought mango instead of, you know, gummies.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I would go to Whole Foods, they have these like vegan gummy stars that are in like a little container.
Yeah.
That's like yay big.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat the whole thing like one sitting. But I'm like, it's vegan.
It's vegan.
But it's like totally just like the same kind of shit.
It's like sugar gelatin.
It's just literally gelatin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it's vegan. So yesterday I went and got mango and strawberries in a container.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're just living like a healthy, conscious lifestyle.
For one day.
You're consciously... No, I'm the
I've consciously uncoupled from processed sugar.
Yeah. You're in a process. You don't hate it, but you're just like taking a breather.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once in a while, I'll like have some Skittles here and there. But for now, I'm just going to try it.
Life is about moderation.
But we were talking about like, you know, celebrities and like models who are just like... This is just how I look.
Yeah. Basically, it's like all the Kardashians have gotten an insane amount of plastic surgery.
Which is fine.
Which is great and fine and like good for them. And I fully believe if you have the means and the desire, please.
Change your face.
Change your face. Change your body.
Change your name.
Change your name. Move to a new state. Like start over again.
Start a new family.
Yeah. Like, have five families.
Yeah.
Keep them all secret from each
have
other.
Have six.
Yeah.
If you have the money to support... They have the money to support at least six families.
Yeah. Oh, at least.
No, more than that.
They could support 50 families.
They could.
They could they could support a city.
They could support a nation.
They could buy, like, Baltimore or something and, like, fully make it, like, Kardashian more.
Can you imagine if the Kardashians took over Baltimore?
They should.
Just Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's not even called Baltimore anymore. It's called...
Just called Kardashian.
Kardashian land.
Kardashian Maryland.
Kardashian city. And it's just giant...
It's like just the inner like harbor, Kylie skin.
The branded. Inner harbor of Baltimore has just become like a giant billboard for like Kylie's lip kit.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
You could do it. Like, what's next?
They each... And each of the sisters like run a part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like warring...
It's like Hunger Games.
It is.
But it's like no like brutality.
No.
It's just like glam.
God, when's that going to happen?
I don't know, but it should be in the work. I mean, Kanye is developing...
In Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, he's working on developing like low-income housing.
That's kind of amazing.
That's cool. And like architecturally, like figuring it out. So I feel like city planning and just owning a city...
Is not off the table.
Far off.
I think he's does a lot of good.
I stan Kanye. I always have, and I always will.
I mean, he's had some tough moments.
He's had moments and said things that I disagree with, and done some things that I disagree with. But I don't think that he's like a hateful person,
no.
Or like I don't think that he's the problem.
No, I think, but I think he does a lot of like good in like a low key manner for especially for Chicago and.
Yeah. And he cares.
Yeah.
And his intentions are good.
But yeah, they all like...
But like every famous person that's like Kardashian or Kardashian adjacent has had body modifying procedures and face modifying procedures, yet maintains like...
Natural.
That it's natural or like doesn't comment on it. And I think that that sucks. I feel like... It would be really punk rock to just be like, I fucking like got fat sucked out of my cheeks. I've had liposuction. I've had injections in my hips. I've had boob implants.
I paid to look sallow.
Yeah. I've paid to look like I've paid a doctor to make me look hungry. And like people love it. And I'm making millions of dollars. And I love it too. And I love looking like this. And that's why I got all this plastic surgery.
It would be.
I mean,
it
would just be like, okay, like, thank you for being real about it and not trying to pretend that, like, if I go work out for, you know, 10 hours a week and, like, eat a salad, I can look like you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, they get a lot of shit. And I think some of it is. I think some of it is they've become like scapegoats.
Yeah.
But the one thing that does annoy me about them is that like they do pretend that like they just like fell into these looks. Like
tout body positivity, like, but that I think true body positivity is being like, yeah,
open about
this
it.
Is what I have done to my body and this is how I want to look.
Yeah.
And like that's the tea, babe. Like
that's the tea.
And that's the tea on these tits. Like,
yeah.
And I think that that would be totally acceptable and cool.
Yeah, it would be real. And, you know, and they could be like, I'm not going to lie that like this isn't cheap, and you have to have a lot of money and like privilege to be able to do this. Yeah. And it's fine, but.
And also, I'm just like, I love learning about plastic surgery procedures. And so it would be informative from a standpoint of like, wow, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wild to me that they have kind of insinuated that like, oh, I just like grew up. I grew into my looks. It's like, no, you were like a fully formed adult when you got famous.
Yeah. Kylie's narrative is like, I grew, like I went through puberty.
Yeah.
And now I have the body of like Anna Nicole Smith, which is like, no, that's someone, like not how it works.
Someone I saw on Instagram said that she looks like someone in A Bug's Life.
Like her body is amazing.
It
but
is.
It's also like fucking not, that didn't like naturally happen.
No, it's astounding.
It's truly like a work of art.
Yeah.
It was crafted. And like Kendall, I guess just like doesn't really acknowledge anything. And it's like, whatever. Okay,
she's on
Kendall.
Proactive.
Yeah. Like yeah. She's like, that's proactive she, really helped.
Proactive me. Really helped me grow into myself.
Yeah. She's like, my whole face changed. Thanks, Proactive.
I'm like,
Courtney keeps it kind of real. Like yeah, she's been like, I had a boob job, and she also doesn't look as plastic as everyone else.
But she seems like unwell.
I think that
she takes the wellness thing to kind of an extreme. I think
I'm obsessed with her website, Poosh.
Poosh.
Poosh is
like Blake Lively's Preserve. RIP.
Yeah, Poosh yourself.
Yeah, she looks amazing, but she's. She's strange. She's like, I really believe she's like, there's something going on with her.
Yeah. I think that she maybe struggles with like mental illness or something, or like
same.
There's something emotional, like that's awry. And game recognized game in that respect.
Yeah, same.
There's no shame in that.
No, no way at all. But she just seems really like angry at everyone in her family.
Yeah.
There's like some shit. Anyway, that's beside the point. But yeah, she looks the most natural, I guess, of anyone. I mean, they all look great. Kim looks flawless, like she's amazing.
Yeah.
Chloe looks great.
I guess it's just also weird to think like Kris Jenner, like didn't she have a facelift like on the show?
Yeah, then she paid for her best friend to have a facelift.
That's friendship.
Yeah. And like I think that's great.
And like, but why is it that when you are an like a woman of a certain age, it's like more okay to be like honest about your plastic surgery? Is it just because like you're old and like no one wants to fuck you anymore, so you can just be like, okay, whatever,
you just live out loud,
like as like a, like you pass a certain age as a woman and then it like doesn't matter if you don't pretend that you're like naturally hot?
I mean, it's all like absurd, you know, societal shit, but I think especially like a woman in her 20s probably feels like shameful to get it, which is like, you don't have to feel like that. But like people, especially, you know, in our patriarchal society, men just kind of expect women to look good, and they expect them to just be like hot, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, if you admit to having some work done, it like,
it's a weakness.
It's a weakness. Like, oh, you couldn't just be fucking, you know, 6'1" and 90 pounds on your own.
Yeah.
Fool. Weak.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
It's really weird. And I think like it's become so, there's like definitely a look that's become normalized through like social media and like Instagram influencers and stuff. But it's like no one is out there. And please, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any influencers who, like, are being honest about, like, getting plastic surgery or, like, lip fillers or cheek enhancements or whatever to, like, make themselves look a certain way. And it's just like, wow, how are all these, like, smoking hot women all out there in the world? And meanwhile, I'm here and like can barely like get to the gym.
Same.
It feels like that. It feels like, how is everyone just like so hot and in bikinis all the time?
I mean, I feel like that with like, especially with like Instagays, mm-hmm. who are just like it seems like their life is just traveling.
Yeah.
And they have incredible bodies.
Traveling and like being shredded.
And like drinking lots of alcohol, it seems. And like always eating like pasta and like the Amalfi Coast. And I'm like, first of all, what's your job?
Yeah.
I'm poor. I am. Like, I'm really broke right now. I don't have a job, like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Like, my life is, and I'm admittedly resentful of that. And yeah. It makes me feel like insecure. And I think gay men and women, correct me if I'm wrong, share similar, like, with like body stuff sometimes.
I feel like
we have like, and for different reasons, but I feel like there's like a shared, like, kind of anxiety over body shape and how you feel in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, do you agree? Like, I think I relate to like, I don't relate to like, I have, as a man, I have privilege over, you know, I have privilege that a woman doesn't have. But I also think that I think as a gay man, I share like, I've had issues with my body and how I look more than like a straight man does or admits to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I mean, I've like at times like crippling body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I'm disgusting and it's something I'm like actively trying to work on. And I think part of that is like eliminating any content that makes me like compare my body to anyone else's body.
Yeah. I think that's really healthy to like...
Like, it's like the Daily Mail is just... It's so dangerous. Like, I love it so much. All I want to do...
I just want to read Daily Mail UK!
I want to open 1,000 tabs in a browser of each a Daily Mail article and then just one by one go through
them. I love when you
like
send a Daily Mail link over text.
I love the Daily Mail, like, but I think it's also... It's just like...
It's hell.
I stare at and scrutinize women's bodies and then I'm like, why don't I look like that? And it makes me upset and depresses me. And then I like feel uncomfortable in my own skin and like I don't fit.
Yeah. And you also feel like you're like, why am I judging someone?
Yeah. And like, what's wrong with me? And like, why? And like,
I felt
it
exactly
just becomes
that.
A total spiral that's like doesn't help anyone.
I literally like I'll look at like a your standard hot gay like Insta guy who has like. Somehow has 70,000 followers on Instagram or like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, first of all, how?
Yeah.
Because you just post photos of you like at an apple orchard.
Yeah.
But you just wearing like a photo of like some ripped, usually white Insta gay, just like on a beach naked.
Mm-hmm.
Like with, you know, looking like literally the Michael.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that... feels just so far like unattainable and it makes me feel like I want to like fold into myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I want to be like invisible. I'm like, well, I guess I don't deserve to be like seen or be like part of the world if I can't like get my shit together and like look hot all the time.
If I can't get 70,000 followers on Instagram from just looking hot, like
what is life?
To the sea I go.
Yeah. Or like, it's like even because like there are times and I feel like I've talked about this on Babe before, but it's like times when it's like, oh, maybe I like want to like thought out on Instagram. But then it's like, oh, it doesn't look like
your brand.
It doesn't look like my brand or it doesn't look like how all these other people are doing it. So there's no space for like my ass or like my whatever I
which like
post.
In an idea like you
which
should
like,
be
should
able
be
to
able
just
to do whatever you
if
want.
You
want to
post a photo of like your ass looking good like you should just do it.
Yeah,
but like I totally get that and I
it's like a real compare and despair and then like go like hide in the shadows and feel like Gollum.
Like I feel like Grendel
from
Beowulf like when
I feel like literal Beowulf a lot of the time.
No, but like when I post like I used to more, but like I don't even post that many like selfies anymore because like I feel weird posting a selfie without. I feel like I have to have some kind of like self-deprecating caption. This is just like full disclosure into my, like, if I'm going to post a photo where I feel like I look good, mm-hmm. I usually, like,
you have to undercut it with being, yeah. like, I know that, like, what I want right now yeah. is, like, attention.
And I'm like, think of something deprecating, think of something deprecating, and then I post it, but it's like, everyone knows what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, I feel hot, and so I'm going to post something.
But it's like, because I'm not one of these, like, guys who's made, which, you know what? Like, I'm not shaming them at all.
No, and I don't think what they're doing is, like, bad.
No, it's not. I think it's cool that, like, gay, like, especially in my, like, that gays, there are, like, hot gays who are, like, influencers mm-hmm. for just being hot. And, like, I like looking at them. I love following these guys. They're hot to look at. I think it's, like, it's fun, but I'm saying it does add kind of a complex sometimes.
Yeah. I think it also has to do with, like, how you're, like, you or I is, like, internally wired with our own, like, bullshit anxiety. That we have to deal with yeah. and, like, how you process that kind of thing after seeing it. It's, like, consuming that kind of content over and over starts to, like, you start to just internalize and send yourself messages based off of it.
Like, I'll be, like, especially in the summer, like, I'll see a photo of, like, you know, a group of 12 gays in, like, Fire Island. Mm-hmm. And they all literally look like sculptures.
Yeah.
And they look exactly alike. And I'm just like, how are that many people? How did you guys find each other?
Yeah.
Like, are you all, like, do you put out, like, a post? Like, a casting? And I'm not saying that to be, like, but, like, I just don't understand how that many guys with, like, bodies like that are in the same. Is it just physics?
I don't know. I feel the same way about just, like, hot women I follow or, like, people that I, like, idolize in my mind on social media that I, like, don't know, but I am like, God, is it just, like, if you're, like, hot and cool,
you just find each other?
You find each other, and then it's, like, just so fun, and I feel like it's almost like I have this perception, which is not correct, that, like, certain people just, like, function on, like, a higher level, like, their lives just click into place and they can, like, handle everything and then, like, look hot and, like, dress well and, like, care for themselves and, like, they just have their life together. But my internal messaging says, like, I can't do what they're doing, and exactly. So I won't be ever at that level or be part of that friend, and I'll be always feeling othered from, like, all these people that I see.
Like, when I feel like in my most, like, anxious, distorted view, like, when I see, like, a group of guys like that, I'm like, I just imagine them, like, sword fighting with their cocks and clanking their hip bones together and just laughing because they're just like, wow, look at us. And I'm like, and they're doing that while I'm like sitting cross-legged beneath them looking up. And they're yeah. just like, and I'm like, I want to watch it. I want to watch them clank their dicks and their hip bones together mm-hmm. and giggle and just be like, look at us.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. But I also, it makes me want to, like Sandra Bullock, Gravity, like,
blast off.
Tumble into space.
Yeah. Mine is, like, I just feel like all these, like, women are bathed in, like, beautiful glowy light, just, like, taking beautiful photos and, like, not even trying. Like, it's like they take a silly photo and they just look, like, so hot.
And they're in, like,
just, like, surrounded by trees or, like, nature and just, like, hanging out and, like, laughing. But then they all are just, like, perfect. And then I'm, like, in my apartment with, like, a high pony and, like, wearing my pajamas just, like, in front of the computer, like, trying to work. Yeah, with, like, Tony, who's, like, snotted on me. And then I'm just, like, I'm literally disgusting.
I'm here with my son
just trying to do things.
Yeah, and again, it's
that's me and, like, oh, my yeah. issue and my no, problem same. Or whatever.
It's not, like, it's truly not, like, and I think everyone gets this. Like, I don't think what we're saying is, like, anything that people...
I think a lot of people feel this way and no one it's really not talks about
I'm not,
it.
Like, I'm not mad at... Like, I think there is a place in the world for that and, like, they fulfill that and, like... That's their life and I'm happy for them. And, like, it's, I like looking at it. So mm-hmm. like, please keep doing it. But it's also like what it has done to everyone is it's wild.
It's wild. It's a new kind of dysmorphia or something.
It's like instamorphia.
Yeah.
Coin that.
Coin that. Trademark it. Well, put it on a mug. It is instamorphia. And like, I think it's a mixture. There's partial societal messages or whatever that are mixed in of like how women are like gay men or even straight men or anyone is supposed
straight
to look. Like
too.
The beauty standards are there from like a society perspective, but then I don't know. It's like I gravitate towards it's like Angelina's tattoo, like what I love also kills me or whatever the fuck she tattooed herself.
It's totally like
I gravitate towards things that will that I think are beautiful, but then also make me feel less than.
It's Chernobyl.
I like thinking that. It's full Chernobyl.
Like when it first exploded and it looked beautiful and all the townspeople were like, wow, look at it.
When it was
like,
just that beam into the sky.
You're like going towards it, but then as the closer you get, you become radioactive.
Me looking at the Daily Mail and making the decision to like open the 1,000 tabs is literally in Chernobyl when he walks to the edge and looks into the core and then looks back is like me every day on Instagram
with like red face
with a full red tomato face.
That's me on Instagram. That's so true.
You know who's missing now from HS is Yules.
Yeah, Yules is she fully gone. Like deep stated.
I love that she went out with like one last transphobic bang and then never to be seen or heard from again until 2019.
She makes a cameo in the next episode.
Oh yeah, maybe like a
very
one
very
shot.
Brief but yeah, it's very, a shot it's a brief. Shot of her fighting with Paul.
Oh, okay, love. But like goodbye.
But yeah, Yules is her family swooped in and we're like, you're done.
They're like, how much is it going to take to make this go away?
How much?
How much do you want?
We've got
$3 million
in cash right here.
Yeah.
It's like, remember Family Matters, the girl who like walked upstairs, like she was like the middle sister and she walked upstairs and then never came down again. Her character. And then she like became, I think, an adult film star in real life.
No.
She was on like a few seasons of it. And then one day she like in the scene, she's like, okay, I'm going upstairs. She never came down and they just pretended she didn't exist.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy when TV shows do that.
They're like, oh, they just don't, they're gone. And like we as viewers,
there's something not right, but you accept it because it just is
like, oh,
you've been in this world for so long. But like TV shows are always, and I feel like multicam sitcoms are the most doing shit like that.
Like, multicam relies on like rapturing.
Yeah.
People get raptured all the time in multicam.
What is it like? Why do people love multicam? Like, who invented the multicam?
Like the 60s.
Before that, I feel like
the 20s. I don't know.
Vaudeville. It's weird. It's not like a play, it's like different than a play. Where it's truly like,
I think laugh tracks are bizarre.
Laugh tracks are insane. You're listening to dead people laugh. Think about that every time you watch Friends. Think about how many of those people are dead and you're listening to them cackle.
Oh, and then when they go,
oh. Woo!
When they kiss.
Yeah.
What if it was just,
some audio?
What if it was just,
I want to do a laugh track, like a show with a laugh track that's just like really fucked up audience sounds. Or just screams of terror, like if a character like fools someone else, and then everyone's like, like.
Just bloody murder. Yeah.
No!
No! Oh, God!
Make it stop! They're screaming!
It's like the Midsommar.
It
like,
is Midsommar.
Scream, scream. It's like.
And like Ross and Rachel, like, Phoebe, like, surprises them. You know,
Phoebe says some like weird, like try hard, like weird statement, and then everyone goes, "Ah!"
Yeah, like I want that. Because when you think about it, every multicam you watch had like some audience wrangler person that was like, okay, guys.
Yeah, it's like North Korea.
And then being like, clap. Ooh. And then many of those people, especially if you're watching like I Love Lucy, are deceased now.
They've recycled laughs of like ghosts.
Yeah. You're listening to ghost laughter and laughter into the vacuum void of nothingness. Laughter that means nothing anymore.
Have you ever read the... It's like a Reddit thread. It was like about the lost episode of SpongeBob.
No.
There's apparently an episode that like never aired, and it's like it was like immediately shelved, and it was like put away because it was an episode where Squidward kills himself.
Whoa.
Because he plays the clarinet at like a concert and everyone laughs at him.
Uh-huh.
And like jeers at him, and there's like this part where like it's slowly zooming in on his face looking weary, and you just hear off screen like the jeers of dozens of people like booing him and laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kills himself.
That's amazing.
But like, what if that happened in a multi-game? Boo!
Ooh. Ah. Multicams are like...
Or if everyone went...
They're truly nightmarish if you really think about it.
Yeah, like...
And then you think about like the most popular multicams of all time.
Big Bang Theory?
I mean...
Uncanny Valley.
Why? That's a truest Uncanny Valley of life.
Yeah, the idea of laugh track just being like weeping,
crying, jeering, hissing.
I love them.
And then also like one thing I loved from that I Love You Don't Die, it's like everywhere Michelle Carter goes, someone's always screaming at her, kill yourself. Like that could be in the sitcom.
Is that true?
Did you not, when she like goes to get sentenced, she's like walking into the courtroom, oh, yeah, and someone's like, kill yourself.
Kill yourself, Michelle Carter. Yeah, that's going to be her life.
That's crazy. Can you imagine screaming, kill? I mean, I could. There are a few people that I'd love to scream that at, but like.
I've been told to kill myself. And like, I've had guys, there were some like mean kids in my class who would just be like, they would just go kill yourself.
Jesus. I don't think I've been told, or if I have, I blacked it out because it was too much for me. Poor Tinsley.
So we start out the episode with Tinsley playing
tennis.
And she goes, my life is truly like a tennis game, a constant back and forth.
And she's playing tennis with no one. Did you like clock that?
And she's going, like, ugh!
And like, as we know, she's really good at tennis.
She played tennis at Columbia.
She's like a tennis pro.
She's great. But she's
playing against the void.
But I love what an amazing statement that she probably thought was like the most profound thing ever.
Life is like a tennis match, a constant back and forth. Tinsley, her voiceovers are a series of ones and zeros created by a computer.
They are truly uncanny.
They're truly uncanny.
So Tinsley starts out the episode still reeling from her encounter with Topper, who like apparently like basically like broke into her apartment.
Okay, so Tinsley says that she woke up naked in her apartment and Topper was standing in her living room and she was terrified, but it felt normal. And both Carrie and I were like, each other, and we were like, let's unpack that for a second, because that tells you everything you need to know about their relationship.
It's like in Hereditary when there's that old like naked guy standing in the doorway.
Oh my god,
it's literally,
that's fully Topper in the living
Topper
room.
Just standing in the moonlight and Tinsley going, Topper,
and being, who's that,
who's there,
Topper,
and then just being terrified but being like, oh, I know this state.
If
this
that familiar was a scene in a movie, it would just be like total like darkness, or like the light, the first light of dawn, and then Tinsley just like wakes up and like something isn't right, and just like gets out of bed slowly, and is like naked or has a robe on, and then just like slowly walks into the living room, like opens the door from her bedroom, and then Topper is just standing there, and then she walks like a little bit closer, and then they just stare at each other, and then it cuts to the next scene. Like, yeah. You wouldn't get any resolution. And that's the level of like unsettled it makes me feel.
Or he's just standing at the window looking out at the city.
Yeah.
And she's like, Topper, and he doesn't turn.
Yeah. Cut to like the next scene, which her like trying to sell her handbags at Calypso. And like,
well, first isn't the first part where she's like talking to her housekeeper?
No, she's off to Calypso
to tell
noted
her
store that was so expensive. That was like, is Calypso around anymore?
I don't think it survived.
And this didn't survive like the recession fallout. And she's so frazzled by her Topper horror.
She can't focus on her business.
She can't focus on her business, which is selling her really ugly handbags.
Oh, they're really bad.
They're so ugly. One like had a leather ruffle.
I asked you because I'm not like
zippers.
I don't know like fully about like
I fashion. Was, like,
yeah. What makes you think I don't know about fashion? Anne Hathaway and Devil Wears Prada. But I turned to you and I said, "Do you like those?"
And you went, "No, they're fucking hideous."
And you went, "No, they're fucking hideous." And I was like, "Okay, good."
They're the ugliest handbags I've ever seen.
They have, like, zippers. Multiple
so
zippers?
Many zippers, ruffles, like, knickknacks, like, hanging off of them. I've thought they were ugly from the start. I've never, ever thought that they were cute.
I mean, she, like, physically made them.
Yeah, she... or just, like, kind of loud talk instructed,
yeah,
like, a person of color on how to make them.
Yeah. She goes to this, like, blonde lady, and you can tell the woman
drops one on the ground, like, as she's unloading from, like, the SUV, and she goes, "Don't film this," to, like, she's breaking the fourth wall, and she goes, I'm frazzled, like, don't, and then I love that they just keep it in.
Yeah.
They're here to troll.
They're like, no.
And she goes and just, like, silently, like, stares into this, like, handbag buyer's soul that works for Calypso, and Tinsley is just there, like, with, like, a very tense jaw, just, like, staring
like,
at
TMJ,
her and, like, fumbling
TMJ
around.
And the woman's like, I like them.
Yeah.
Like, she's like...
they stare at each other,
yeah,
and, like, kind of... Tinsley
says nothing. She's like, these are my bags.
And the woman's, like, touching them, and the woman's like, I like them. I think this one could be bigger.
Yeah, bigger. I think they could all be bigger.
And Tinsley is, like... So she's never been more relieved in her life. She goes, and just like that, my whole day turned around. And it's like, wow.
And just like that. And the woman, like, she was right. They look like little, like, McDonald's, like, fun Happy Meal.
They'd be cuter now, I think, because, like, the mini bags are but they would need to be totally redone and, like, not look anything like they look, but still be, like, a small size.
Yeah.
And they weren't even mini enough to be mini bags.
No.
They're just, like,
small.
Hideous. So, then we go to Paul, and he has brought Tommy, the Insta guy, along to meet his mom at Bloomingdale's.
There's an eatery in Bloomingdale's.
Which I didn't know. I thought that they were just sitting in, like, a kitchen.
Were you shook?
Yeah, I was like, did they bring a cheese board with them and then just set it up in, like, the middle of this, like, kitchen?
No, I think, is it Bloomingdale's or Saks has, like, a full, like, nice restaurant that, like, I've been to, like...
Yeah, I think a lot of those, like, really upscale department stores have restaurants, yeah, but this just, it was, like, their table was, like, next to a display.
Yeah, like, next to, like,
so
like,
close
pots.
That it felt like...
Maybe they set it
weird.
Up.
I don't know.
But so, Paul brings Tommy to his mother, who looks like Ann Dowd.
Yeah, his mom is fully... It is Ann Dowd.
She always has, like, ascots on.
Mm-hmm. And, like, a square reading glasses.
And bangs. And she is, like, very excited to meet Tommy. She's like, oh, my God, this kid is gorgeous.
She loves him.
She feels his biceps. She's like, ooh. She's, like, getting giddy from... Paul is, like, totally embarrassed.
Like, you would inspect, like, a prize filly or something like that.
Yeah.
She's like, cough for me?
Yeah.
She's like, great balls.
Great testes.
A strong testy.
Paul just keeps going, mom, oh my God. Like, he's just like,
he's so humiliated. And his mom's like, I would sleep with you, but you're too young for me, or something yeah. like that. She does the thing where it's like, oh my god, like that's inappropriate to say.
And then Paul and her, then they leave, and Paul goes, "How to Lose a Guy in 10 minutes,"
starring like Margaret Johnson.
And then she goes to Tommy, "Did you inherit the gay fashion gene,
or what?
Or what?" I was like, oh my god.
He goes, "No." He's such a, like, he brings truly nothing to the table.
His mom was being, like, adorable and, like, you know, just, like, mom humor. And yeah. And everything she said, he went, "Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, thank you so much.
Aw." I was just like, you are patronizing.
Yeah.
Get Say out something. Of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of Bloomingdale's. You don't deserve Paul Johnson Calderon. You don't deserve this family.
You don't deserve Margaret. Yeah.
She came all the way to Bloomingdale's Aww. For you. She put her glasses on and styled her bangs yeah. down.
He kept going, "Aw."
It's Aww. Like,
if I ever said that, if I saw myself saying that to like anyone's parent, I'd slap myself.
Yeah.
So then Paul and Mama.
Then we go back to Tinsley, where there's like a vase has been broken on the floor.
Yeah.
Tinsley's life is a horror movie in this episode. Like, it's really like a series of, it's like a thriller. Her life yeah. is like Mulholland Drive. Like, a series of really bizarre things are happening to her.
The dumpster man is gonna like come out from like
yeah.
an alleyway and like in her neighborhood, but
like,
she
Topper appeared in the living room. We never heard what they talked about or anything. She was just like, and just like that, he was there. I was naked and terrified, but it felt like home. And then the next scene is like a vase that's broken, like shattered on the ground,
and
then
her like housekeeper helping her pick it up.
Yeah,
and she's like,
there's one moment where Tinsley's like, "Oh, did BB break that?" And then it like pans over to like a terrified chihuahua being like.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you never are explained like what happened.
And the housekeeper like knows that there's bad energy in that apartment, but she's like not going
to
say anything.
Yeah. Fanny is not here to like make waves.
She's like,
she's doing her job and getting the fuck out yeah. and agreeing with everything Tinsley
she's
says.
She's like, "I don't know, Miss Tinsley, but I'm out of here by sundown."
Yeah. She's like, "Once the sun goes down,
I don't stay. When the moon comes out to dance,
no, I'm out. I'm back home where it's safe.
And she goes to Fanny. She's like, "Fanny, do you think that me and Top are gonna get back together?" And Fanny's like, "Tinsley, I don't fucking know."
She's like, "Literally, stop talking to me about this. Like,
yeah,
you corner me on camera and then like force me to talk about your ex.
I don't want to talk to you about your life, Tinsley."
Tinsley's like, holding just a shard of a broken vase, she's like, "What do you think? Like, I think that we could. Like, do you see that when you close your eyes at night and think about me? Because I think maybe there's a chance. What do you think, Fanny?" And she's like, "Yeah."
She's like, "Yeah, I don't. I think you have a chance."
And it's really uncomfortable. And like, Tinsley doesn't want to hear, like, "No, bitch. Like, Topper hates you."
Yeah.
Like,
also, Topper fully mothered Tinsley.
Yeah.
I feel like Tinsley was J-Law's mother.
He destroyed her.
Yeah. She's like holding the shard. There's like that image of J-Law with like holding her heart.
Yeah. Tinsley is J-Law in Mother.
Yeah.
And that's just what happens.
Yeah, but Fanny's like, "Yes, you're gonna get back together, and I have to get going because I can't be in this apartment when it gets dark."
Yeah, that vase like broke itself.
Yeah.
And then Tinsley was like, "Oh, did BB do that?" And Fanny, the cameras are on, she's like, "Yes, Miss Tinsley." It's like she can't speak to like the dark side of poltergeist that's taken over Tinsley's
this midtown apartment.
In the midtown. Tinsley's fully living Poltergeist 4.
She
the
is.
Midtown.
So we go back to
Paul.
His mom like takes him for a drink.
I loved, like, "Son, you've been to rehab twice, but I think you have a handle on it. Should we get a drink?" And yeah. he's like, "Yes." And like they go and like have a wine and a beer.
She's like, "So you're pretty serious about this guy?" And he's like, "Yes, I really like see a future with him, and part of that future is going on trips. I really want to. I have a whole like litany of jet setting. I want to do
trips planned
with Tommy. I think it's really important to me that I go on trips with him." And she's like, "Oh, that's nice." And he goes, "So part of going on trips is I'm going to need to be funded for, because I love that it's not like." Not like it's like a business investment. He's like, I want 16 grand to go on vacations.
To go on some vacations. So I'm going to need you to transfer 16 grand.
And the mom and
she's
like, she goes, she goes, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
The audience goes,
ooh,
ah.
Wow. Ooh. Oh.
Uh-oh.
And then he goes, she's like, really? Like, you need, he's like, yeah, I really, like, I'm going to need.
He goes, look, I want, like, I think he could be the one. And, like, then he launches into wedding talk and he's like, I want a wedding that costs no less than half a mil.
And she goes, I could maybe do 100 thou.
And he goes, I don't want some, what does he say?
He says, he's like, I don't want some Star Jones fully, like, branded wedding where it's everything's for free.
And she's like, I could make it nice. And then he's like, well, don't. He's like, makes a joke about, like, killing her in order to, like,
get Menendez brothers you and, like, smother you with a pillow in your sleep. And the mom goes, no.
Don't do that. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
The audience goes.
The entire audience together. The entire audience all at once in that moment they all go
and it just closes up on like both of their faces like a back and forth like a stare
and then the mom is like, well, you know what, I'm just really happy that you're settling down, and she basically like agrees to give him,
yeah, she's like, it's cool,
I'll give you the money to go to
like go to Bora Bora or yeah. Whatever the fuck. Also, I'm like, said this to you when we were watching it, but like, inflation's a bitch, because I don't think you could take like, you can't take the level of vacation and travel for months on 16 grand for two people.
I can do like laundry multiple times a month.
Yeah. I take out 16 grand in quarters every month to just like do laundry in the building.
I can like go to Whole Foods every day if I have 16,000.
So yeah, everything costs an arm and a leg. Tinsley and Dabney host a really cheesy party.
All the like parties that she's, I'm not gonna say it. It's at like a bridge and tunnel club.
It's at a weird club. It's called like Hour or something.
It's called
like
Suave.
Yeah, that like no one's ever heard of.
Dabney, you pointed out that Dabney's fully wearing.
Dabney's wearing the spine she ripped out in front
she's
of
like
the Empire
predator.
Hotel. Yeah,
you know the predator.
Dabney
like,
is
collects,
the predator.
He like collects like skulls.
He loves a skull.
Yeah.
Dabney dipped the spine in. She took it to the stylist MJ. And she goes, MJ, make me a dress out of this. Adorn it with a spine, and flings the spine at him.
She's wearing like a one like.
Like a tank, like a tube top dress with like a glittery spine on it. And so
and then
she's feeling great. And then
Tinsley's
wearing
like a
black.
She's wearing like a rib cage that Tinsley gave her.
Yeah.
And they're matching and they're like
two sisters like out having fun. And they do like that white girl dance where you're just like.
Mm-hmm. And they like hold each other's hands. And they're like, they go like this. Woo!
And the audience goes, yeah!
Let's tease them, Dab.
Just dance for me, Dab.
The Mercer girls back in action.
Back in action at Suave nightclub. Yeah.
And then it cuts to Tinsley and Dabney on a couch, and she goes, "This guy Constantine came over to me, and he was on American Idol, and we both like bone chilled."
That is when in the sitcom just a bell ominously rings, like. Dun, dun. Because that signals the death of Tinsley Mortimer as we know it, and the beginning of Tinsley Mortimer reality star.
Constantine, the winner of American Idol, I think like the third season, he literally looks like Kenny G. And his whole thing was like he was like the Rock.
Oh, the Rock of Ages?
Yeah.
So did you ever watch that movie?
No, with Tom
Cruise?
Me
neither. It was like, what?
Yeah.
That's such a weird thing that Rock of Ages like was a huge thing.
I think Catherine Zeta-Jones was it? By the way, has an incredible Instagram.
Oh, love that.
Amazing.
Okay.
But, so Constantine comes over, like, randomly is at this party, and he hits on Tinsley, and Tinsley's like, he was on American Idol. She plays it cool.
Yeah, and he asks her to come to his show, and she's like excited to like be hobnobbing Constantine Morales. Where is he now? Wellness check.
Yeah.
Some other time.
So they canoodle, like Tinsley's like, "Oh, cool, I have a date now." And Dabney's like, "Yeah, Tins, that's the Tinsley I missed. That's the Mercer girl I was waiting for. We're both Dogwoods.
We're
Richmond girls in the city.
In the city, dating. Every Mercer girl knows what it's like to go on a date in the big city."
And then you just see her cut to her, and she's like, and with a spine.
With a spine. She has a frozen smile. Dabney's like the kind of person that can't like genuinely smile. She just is like,
It's like with Britney with the python holding it like that. Yeah. She has the boat. She has the spine. She does
Britney Spears smile where it's just like,
"I'm a slave for you."
Yeah. That's like the sound of that kind of smile where you just are a woman that can't fully smile.
It's like the smile I used to do in pictures. My mom would go, "Don't smile like that."
Carrie, no.
She would go, "Carrie, stop it. Don't smile like that." She would literally go, "Don't smile like that.
Don't smile.
I would go like this."
It's like little kids do it when they like don't understand. They're like, "Ew," and then you just are uncomfortable.
Stop smiling like that. I used to always do that.
Don't do that, Carrie. Carrie, stop it. Don't smile like that. Don't
then
sit like
that. Then how would you smile to make up for it?
And she would go, "Don't sit like that.
Don't." You're being policed.
My mom there was one picture I remember, we were in Florida taking like our Christmas card picture, and she goes, "Don't sit like that," because I was sitting like kind of a little fey.
Like, but like, that's cute.
Yeah, I was just like kind of like curled up with my sister on some grass, and my mom went, "Don't sit like that."
For the picture or just in general?
So then I had to like sit, I went like that.
You had to man spread.
I went like that in the picture.
Oh, Carrie.
I liked it. I was like this. I was like,
"You're like, tell me everything." You slapped.
I slapped my ass.
You're like, "Mom, do you like that? How do you feel about that ass?"
That trip was memorable because we were with our cousins and my aunt, who we don't speak to, and my cousin and her, and we did like a kids club night. Did I tell you about this?
No.
And we went on like a scavenger hunt, my sister and my cousin and me, and we got separated, and I was with like another group. It was like a resort like club, like when parents wanted to go like drink, they would send their kids. And I remember my sister and my cousin were on a team with this guy who was like clearly gay, and he was like 13. I was like 10 at the time. And I came back to the house we were staying at with my aunt and my uncle and my cousin. And my mom and my aunt were in their PJs watching The American President. That movie with Annette Bening and Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
And this kid went, "Ugh." I remember this so vividly. He went, "Ugh, the American president, his speech at the end just always gives me chills every single time." My mom and my aunt, I remember being like, yeah, same.
Wow.
Anyway.
I love like standing that movie as a child.
What?
I never watched that movie.
Something is wrong with you.
I never will, because I was just like, boring.
Aaron Sorkin. But I remember being like, my mom and my aunt being like, "Wow."
I love a moment where you all get to look at each other and like side eye and bond over like a psychotic child.
A psychotic kid. Gives me chills every single time.
The American president.
Always gives me chills.
His speech at the end gives
goosebumps.
Me chills.
Do you see him on my arm now?
I'm full goosebumps.
And then I like bend down and go.
Get a look at that ass, Mom.
Get a look at that. Get a look at that. Read it and weep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go, because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
So not only is Tinsley dating, but Dale goes on a date.
She, as we know, she applied for that like high caliber dating service that like only caters like, to, like,
selective search
billionaire men.
Like, that's like a horror movie.
Yeah, it's and like it's like escorting.
I looked up. They do a really selective search, as though they are looking for a CEO of a company, and it's like, okay, well, that's not the same thing as like dating, but anyways.
And she heads to Teterboro Airport, New Jersey, where all the like celebrities and private flying enthusiasts land.
Mm-hmm.
She's waiting in the car. She's on the phone with her friend. She's like, oh my God, he's about to land now. She's wearing a huge fur collar,
and she's just giddy with excitement. And I mean, it is like hot to like,
yeah, meet your suitor
who like flew in from somewhere
Wisconsin.
On his PJ to like come and take you on a date. And so, like, his plane lands, Chris,
Yeah.
He's an cute, attractive guy.
Yeah, he's a handsome dude.
He's very sweet. He seems excited. I mean, who wouldn't be excited to date Dale?
He's a, like, kind of a daddy.
He's a daddy.
He walks out.
Yeah, he walks out.
His flowers for her. They get into a limo.
His flowers looked cheap, which I didn't like. I was like...
He got him at the airport.
Yeah, he got him at the airport and then brought some, like, Virginia wine for her. Mm-hmm.
And they, like... get in a black limo and, you know, hightail it to Manhattan. And Dale is getting drunk.
She's drunk by the time they go for their date to Central Park.
Well, one of the first things she says to him is, "I don't care for Germans." And he goes,
"Because I'm from Milwaukee." He explains Milwaukee to her like she's never heard of it, which frankly, she might have never
heard. She might
heard
not
of
have.
Milwaukee. He's like, "I'm from Milwaukee." And she goes, "Now, what is that?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, it's a city made up mostly of immigrants, you know, Italians, Irish, Germans." She goes, "I don't care for Germans."
He goes, "Well, I'm German." And she's like, "Oh." She goes, "Oh, well,
my apologies.
The reason is my daughter is dating a German prince."
And he goes, "Oh."
Oh.
And they laugh and laugh. The audience goes,
And then those two gay guys in Mykonos who were sword fighting, they clank their hips and they go, ah, ha, ha.
They just like touch their dickheads together. You hear clapping,
and
but
clanking.
It's just their dickheads. They clap their dicks together.
And if you want to know that reference, you have to listen to the bonus episode.
Patreon.com/sexyunique podcast. Google it.
So Dale and this guy, they get out of the limo and they head to Central Park. It's like cold and they go to like the lake in Central Park.
They just walk around. Dale's shit-faced and she like almost trips and falls. And she's like, "I'm sorry."
That had very like Nicole getting
hit by the biker energy.
Where it's like, I feel like it's my mom and I just want to immediately be like, "Get away from her!"
Yeah, like I'm like, and I don't like that she apologized. Like,
no.
I don't want to ever see... like I don't want to see any woman fall, but I don't want to see like a woman over like 50 fall or
then apologize.
Have any sort of physical duress and then be like embarrassed or anything.
If I see that like in public at all, like I've seen it before where like I literally want to throw up.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
it's uncomfortable.
No, but it's just like I don't want anything bad to happen to like man or a woman. Like an older man
to
falling.
Like sweet Dale.
Or like if I see like a senior citizen fall, I'm like...
yeah.
Kill me.
Yeah. And so
that's just my that's something I have to work out.
I love that.
Yeah. I can't handle anyone in... my threshold for stress, I think just because of maybe the way the world is right now.
Yeah.
If like a baby's in peril or like an older person's in peril, or a dog.
You can't take it.
Bye.
My truest horror is anything happening to my dog.
Yeah.
And I think it haunts me day in and day out that I'm just like, oh my God, like what if something horrible happens to this dog?
Yeah. I used to like when my dog, who's not with us.
R.I.P. Logan.
R.I.P.
Logan. You were iconic.
Logie dog.
I loved you from afar.
He was amazing. But when he was really little, we'd have him in the backyard and I used to be afraid that like a hawk was going to...
there's just so many things
owl.
That could happen. Life is fragile.
So then Dale and this, and what's his name?
Chris
head to the pond and they
fully suck face.
But like, not even like,
they make out.
It's like, you hear like the noises, you hear the lips smacking and it feels very like, it's like watching two middle schoolers at like a school dance.
But it looked hot. Like
it did look hot.
They had like chemistry.
Oh yeah, they wanted to fuck.
Dale was like down to fuck.
Yeah. He flew out there. She's like, "I'm gonna make it worthwhile for him."
Yeah. And like then suddenly as quick as it began, the date ends. And then you just see Dale walking away down the path laughing at herself, flushed. And she goes, "That was a good date."
She said that to like someone in front of her.
She said that to the air.
Yeah. "That was a good date."
It's like you drove to an airport, drove back to Manhattan, walked around a park and kissed.
And then he left.
That's not a date.
No. Maybe he like was crunched for time. had to be back in Milwaukee for a meeting.
Yeah, he's like, I'll come meet you. That's sexy.
Yeah.
That's, I wonder, like, if they date. I don't think there's ever any follow-up on this date.
No.
This is the episode where they just open up cans of worms and then leave the audience to, like, deal with it and resolve nothing.
Exactly.
And then throw Constantine Morales into the mix. And a shameless plug for, like, Rock of Ages.
I know. They're like, can we?
They're like, look, we're getting sued by, like, the Kirby family. We need to, like, we need some sponsorship.
We need some SponCon.
And then Rock of Ages is like, cool, we'll put Constantine in an episode. We'll give you, like, 300K. Got to make those ticket sales go through the roof.
Will do.
Tinsley, she goes on her date with Constantine, where she goes to his show.
She's like, it's really exciting to be, like, here with the, you know, to see the star.
When the star invites you to their show, it's really great.
She goes backstage.
And she makes, like, a joke about doing her makeup, but I think he and I both couldn't tell if she was, like, serious or not. Tinsley is uncomfortable flirting.
Yeah.
Like, she can't do it. She's even like that on Roni. She just, like, can't.
Yeah, she's awkward.
And then she goes, it was so amazing. I feel like a little girl. And it's like, she just wants to feel like a little girl all the time. Like, that's when she's at her happiness, is when she feels like a little girl.
Well, that's why, like, in Roni, when she's crying at the circus, she's like, I dreamed of this my whole life. Like, just being a little girl in a poofy, poofy dress with a little makeup on. And here I am, and I'm crying. And I'm like, okay, that's not aspirational. You need help.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, that to me reads as, like, daddy issues.
Yeah.
And, like, she said that her dad was, like, an alcoholic, yeah, who died of alcoholism, essentially. And so I get, like, where that could come from. But I'm also, like,
yeah, it's weird.
My red flag meter.
But she's like in, she's like trying on things in the dressing room. She's spinning around for him.
Yeah.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
Or she felt like a little girl up until the point where she became aware of his, like, disease or shortcomings as a father, or encountered some sort of trauma that ended her feelings of a little girl. Now she's always, maybe it has nothing to do with her dad. Maybe it was
I think it is.
But there was a period of time where she felt like a little girl and loved it, and then no longer feels like that and is chasing the high of being a little girl again.
She's chasing the dragon.
But is devastated because she will never be that a little girl again.
Topper kind of came close to making her feel like that.
Yeah.
But
it came with, like, a lot of, like, why are you in the living room?
Yeah.
Energy. If I ever came downstairs in my apartment and anyone, man, woman, ex, like, parent, anyone at all was inexplicably in my living room, I would drop dead out of fear.
I would be horrified.
Yeah. That would terrify me to no end.
Wow. Jarred.
Jarred. But Tinsley had a great time.
They make out.
It feels like she doesn't want to... She's making out with another person she doesn't want to be making out with.
Yeah, you can just feel her going, ew!
And then she just, like, acquiesces to the kiss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want Tinsley to just, like, be able to make out on her own terms for once in her fucking life.
She does a little more in Housewives. She makes out with people. She makes out with Scott, her on and off, like, boyfriend that there's a lot of controversy about.
Yeah. Did they show him in past episodes?
Yeah. Carol, okay. Because Carol Radswell and her young ex were friends with him, and they introduced him to her.
Oh.
And they're on a double date. And then, like, in the middle of the double date, Tinsley and him just start making out in front of Carol.
Okay, wow. I'm catching up on Roni now, so I'm, like, going back, but I haven't gotten to, like, the Scott era.
Tinsley also makes out with a guy in, like, a recent, when they're in Miami.
Yeah, I saw that.
Love that for her.
Love that for her.
So,
but then they get in the back of, like, a car and then drive away with, like, the lights of the car on. So I feel like production was like, okay, now we want to get you kissing in the car, but keep the lights on. And Tinsley's like, can't say no. So she's like, okay. And then they do it.
Then they drove off, and then Tinsley, like, hopped out of the car when they got to the light.
Yeah.
Sorry, and gotta go.
Daintily ran as fast as her little booties could take her, ran all the way to the Midtown.
Running down 8th Avenue.
Just, like, trotting.
Click, 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 click.
It's like...
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go.
The sound of Jin's little witties. And then sometimes she thinks that the car is coming after her, and she's like...
just scurrying about. Yeah.
When she gets into her apartment, she's like...
into her bed.
Her room.
She sleeps with her booties on.
She sleeps with her booties on. Because she's ready to rock at any given moment.
Tinsley sleeps with ankle boots. I'm going to start sleeping with ankle boots on for the earthquake.
Yeah. So when the earthquake comes, you can just like...
Yeah, that's me when the earthquake hit and I ran to Simon's.
You put your booties on, grabbed your meds, and scuttled off to Simon's.
I did.
Click, 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 click. When the earthquake happened, I literally was just the old woman in the meme falling off the couch. Do you know that? Where it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's me. I don't run anywhere. I just fully like go into life alert mode. And I go, did you feel that? To like whoever's next to me.
Am I feeling this?
The first time I like looked at Tony and I was like, and then like the second time I was around friends and I was like, you feel this? Like I need like confirmation that I haven't fully spiraled off the face of the planet into like a psychosis from which I'll never recover.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. Thank God it is over for now.
So we cut to
the guest of a guest party.
Yeah. There's a guest of a guest party and everyone, including Dale, is attending.
Yeah.
Except Kinsley Yules.
Just wants Dale to be there because she needs someone who has her back.
She's a pit bull. So they walk in and Paul brought Tommy. Paul's like, he's like my little debutante for the night. I'm debuting him to New York society. Paul loves, it's all about the photos. Like,
loves a photo opportunity.
He just wants photos of him kissing a hot guy, which
I
get.
And he likes telling people how they met. She was like, I met him after I got out of rehab. Or no.
I met him at Apotheke after I got arrested.
When I almost got arrested, and it cuts to like one gay's face going like,
yeah.
Like a true experiencing the biggest horror of his life is like Paul's meet cute with Tommy.
Yeah. He just loves. Paul loves to shock.
A pearl clutching moment. Yeah.
Fuck that lame-o.
I know. Honestly, I'm like.
I would have been like, love it.
Love that.
Love Apotheke.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. Love that.
He sees Tinsley. Tinsley meets Tommy. Like, everyone's like having a good time. Everyone's enjoying. And then. Dun. You see
another pair of booties.
She loves to wear.
Like a
like
platform Saint Laurent heel
with black tights.
She loves tights. Why does she like love them so much?
Like a twiggy kind of like.
She likes like a tube dress.
Yeah, but like with black tights.
I'm unclear on Devorah's obsession with tights.
You see her coming. It's in like the basement, and and Paul goes. Fucking Devorah Rose walks in
with her swamp thing hair and her witch hands.
Her swamp thing hair and witch hands.
Witch hands? He never fails to deliver a monster read.
Witch hands.
Her swamp thing hair and her witch hands.
Oh my God.
I'm like, witch hands is such a thing.
Witch hands are... I like sometimes have witch hands.
Yeah, every once in a while my hands become that of a witch.
Sometimes if it's night and I'm like, there's like a candle on or something and there's a shadow on the wall, I'll go. When Gaga came out at her concert, I went...
You were paws up, witch hands out.
I literally, she went, put your paws up, little monsters. And I went,
Carrie's hand shot into the air.
I was looking around. Come on. Paws up, everyone. Paws up, little monsters. Like, I literally was like, I'm here, mother. Like, my paws were up.
Your paws were up, and you were not ashamed.
No.
You were Gaga Army.
Simon was like... Everyone else was like... And I looked
at you. You were like, yeah.
Yes. Mother Monster!
We are here for you, Mother Monster.
We're here for you.
What do you want us to do? Tell me what you want.
Tell
I am
me
at your mercy, Mother Monster.
I will do thy bidding.
If Lady Gaga... instructed you to like take to the streets that night, would you have done it?
Yes. Doesn't matter what about, I would take to the streets.
You are ready.
I've taken to the streets.
ready for you to go. Your radicalized little monster taking to the streets with one paw up, baring your teeth. Show me your teeth.
If she wasn't going to win the Oscar, I was going to take to the streets.
Yeah.
That's why they gave her the Oscar, because they were worried about
They were worried monsters. About all the little monsters just like taking to the streets. You guys don't do anything bad, but you do walk around with like a scowl on your face.
Little monsters are wild.
Little monsters don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah, they are vicious.
They're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Do her fans like come for people like the Beehive?
Yeah, I think Gaga like has definitely like been like, guys, stop.
Okay.
Like Beyonce kind of never. I'm not saying anything. I'm afraid of the Beehive. But I'm like in the Beehive, but I'm also
it's like the Beehive could turn on itself at any given moment.
I love Beyonce, but I don't think like I don't know.
I love Beyonce. Like she makes me weep. Like I watched the beginning of, I haven't watched all of Homecoming yet, but I watched the first part of it when I was having like a bad depression day.
It's uplifting.
And I truly was like crying. I was like, wow, and felt like renewed by her spirit.
I remember watching it live on the stream and like being in my bed just going, woohoo! I was literally like, oh!
You love any chance to woo!
No, I literally was like, when Destiny's Child came on, I was like, oh! Like, I was just like, and then when she did that dance break to Everybody Mad, making money, getting everybody mad, you know that when it's like, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Oh, I don't.
Dun, 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 dun. I've been getting to the moon. Yeah. I've been getting to the money, you know?
Yeah.
And she just does that. I was like in my bed going, I was like mid-summering at the end. And when she does Sorry with the horns, burm, 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 burm.
She cares so much.
And her like sub thing where she like made the men like her subs.
And works so hard.
She's been planning that for years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Witch hands. And then Tinsley's like, and now I'm finally going to confront Devore about what's been going on. So she and Dabney and Alex Oswald start marching down a hallway in like formation.
Dale's like, I love
Dale.
Dale was there, but she was like, it was like a game of cat and mouse. They would get close to each other, think they were going to talk to each other, and then they would stay apart. And I just loved watching it.
Dale loves the drama. But
so Tinsley and Devora are like in the same room. Devora's like, it's like they're doing that thing where like Devora's like loudly talking nearby you, but like, so you feel like.
So you like are aware of each other, but you're like not going to speak to each other.
And you know the conversation's coming.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of time before Tinsley comes up flanked by Dogwood Dabney and Alex Ozapow.
Dogwood Dabney. Next episode is going to be, it's the finale and it's
a showdown, and it's will Dogwood Dabney rip Devora's head?
Will she finish her
Mortal Kombat style and wear her spine like a feather boa? Or will Tinsley just be like, what you did was not okay? And then it's over. There's a part where it's like, next week in the finale of High Society, and it's just like a big montage of a lot of things, and one of the things is just someone putting a handbag, one of Tinsley's handbags, on a shelf. I was like, what?
And then there's one part where Paul's like, gets involved in some kind of scandal, and he's like, this could ruin everything. And then you hear like some random girl being like, Paul in a porn star scandal, and you just see Paul
looks
completely like
hungover as fuck again. He just goes,
"Oh my god!
Oh my god! No!
Oh my god! No!" But I was like, I would love to like get to a place where like I just wake up and there's a scandal.
Always waking up hungover as shit, just like having to deal with like another scandal.
Cheek.
Oh my god! No!
Oh my god! No. It's so real.
Oh, poor Paul.
That's how I would have. I was. Oh my god.
Yeah. Paul. Oh my god. No.
Anyway, so we'll see if Jules makes an appearance.
TBD. She might just have gone up the stairs, never to be heard from again.
She uncanny valid.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. It means a lot to me. That's how we, the audience ends this episode.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What did it just end with everyone going, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you, Ross.
David Schwimmer.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chandler.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, though.
Thank you so much.
See you next week for the finale.
See you next week for the finale. Tune in.
Follow me on eCario.
Follow me at Lars Marie.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.